Genesis chapter 17 this morning. Genesis 17. This is our fourth lesson in our study, the names of God, and we are looking at the first combined name of God, and we find it in God's dealing with Abraham in Genesis 17, verse 1. We have dealt with the name El, the most basic name for God in your scriptures, El. But here we have a combination, all right? And we will, from this point going forward, be looking at the various, not all of them, we will look at many, though, the various names of God in combination of words. When Abram was 90 years old and nine, the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect. We will stay in Genesis 17. As a matter of fact, if you will keep your Bibles handy, we will ask you to look at some passages, not only in Genesis, but in a couple other places. Andrew Jukes, in his book, The Names of God, says this, Almighty is supposed by some to mean one who has the power to do anything and everything. But such an idea of almightiness, and that's his word that my computer didn't like, but almightiness is not that which Holy Scripture presents to us, all right? Holy Scripture says that God is truth and love. As the true and righteous God, the very truth, He cannot lie. He cannot. Does this cannot limit His almightiness? Would He be more almighty if He could lie? Certainly not. Falsehood is weakness. Almightiness, therefore, is not the power of doing anything or everything. Almightiness is the power to carry out the will of a divine nature. And then he uses an illustration that I think is very good. He says, suppose a sculptor desired to form an image of himself out of some material, whether of wood or stone or metal. Would it be any proof of his power as a sculptor if, because the stone or wood or metal were hard to work on, he dashed his image all to pieces? Would such an act show his ability? Quite the reverse. And so with God. To be almighty, he must be able to carry out his own will and purpose to the uttermost. And this will is to save his creatures and to restore and reform his image in them. I don't know if you remember the quote. I was thinking about it from our lessons before, but maybe it was Pink who said that it took more of God's power to withhold his mercy than it did for him to create the world. It took more of God's power to withhold judgment, to extend mercy, than it did for him to create the world. And here is the point that Jukes is trying to make. God is almighty, but that does not imply his ability to do anything and everything. It implies his ability to accomplish his purposes. If I were the sculptor, would be prone in the middle of my project, and I'm working with the wood or the metal, and I realize that it's just not working. Or probably a better illustration would be clay. If I'm the potter, and I've got the clay on the wheel, I have the ability at any point to pick up the clay and throw it in the trash. That's almightiness, as some conceive it. But the Almighty, the El Shaddai, that we will look at today, is the God who has the power to continue to conform that piece of clay, to make it what He desires to make it. And that is Almighty. That is Almightier, if you will. That is the Almightiness of God, His power to perform what He has set out to do, His strength. What about the Lord Jesus Christ and His strength to submit to the cross? That was strength. What could He have done? Called 10,000 angels? We sing that, don't we? In His strength as God, He could have wiped out the Romans and the Jews of first century and went on about His glory. But in Almighty, the Almighty, in His almightiness, was strong to submit to the cross. As is the case with some of the other names of God, the meaning of the word Shaddai, Almighty God, El Shaddai, depends much on its etymology. Appearing 48 times in the Old Testament, and each time translated Almighty, some scholars think it derived from a word which means to destroy, and they cite Isaiah Chapter 13, verse 6. How ye, for the day of the Lord is at hand, it shall come as a destruction from El Shaddai. Some say the word literally means thunder, citing Psalm 18. The Lord also thundered in the heavens, and the highest gave His voice, hailstones and coals of fire. Yea, He sent out His arrows and scattered them, and He shot out lightnings and discomfited them. Still others look to the Akkadian word Sadu, S-A-D-U, as the source for Shaddai. And that word means mountain. And they maintain that El Shaddai is therefore the God of strength and power, based on the root word Sadu. Others still interpret it as pourer or shedder forth and see this name as God, the administrator of both judgment and blessing. But most likely the Hebrew word shad, S-H-A-D, is the root for Shaddai. I believe I'm not out of school here, that most scholars believe that Shaddai derived from Shad, S-H-A-D. Shad literally means breast, and this would signify nourishment, strength, fruitfulness. If correct, then El Shaddai is literally God all-sufficient. You say, well, I thought it was Almighty. Well, Almighty, some people say that's a misinterpretation. I don't see that as a misinterpretation. But He is mighty to supply. He is mightily sufficient. Genesis 49:25 kind of reflects this idea of the woman's breast, the mother's breast. Even by the God of thy father who shall help thee, and by the Almighty who shall bless thee with blessings of heaven above, blessings of the deep that lieth under, blessings of the breasts and of the womb. And so El Shaddai literally means God all sufficient. Now, if we look in the scriptures at the use, we see context here that helps with these, not unlike Genesis 49, we see context that helps with the definition and our understanding of our God as El Shaddai. If you're still there in Genesis chapter 17, we see that God was sufficient, all-powerful, almighty for Abraham. Verse 1, when Abraham was 90 years old and 9, the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect, and I will. That is very significant there. I will. Make my covenant between me and thee, and will multiply thee exceedingly. Here is a 99-year-old man, and God says, I am almighty, I am all-sufficient, I am El Shaddai, and I will multiply you. If I live to be 99, and honestly, I'm not sure I want to do that. But if the Lord will have me here till I am 99, I'm not so sure in my thought I'm going to be thinking about multiplying. That's the last thing of my thought. Having a son would or a daughter would be the last thing in my mind at age 99. But here is God speaking as the Almighty. And he says, I will. I will. Abram fell on his face. And God talked with him, saying, as for me, behold, my covenant is with thee. And thou shalt be a father of many nations. Neither shall thy name any more be called Abram, but thy name shall be called Abraham, father of many nations. For a father of many nations have I made thee, and I will make thee exceeding fruitful. I am El Shaddai. I am all sufficient. I am the God of fruitfulness. I will make you fruitful. And I will make nations of thee, and kings shall come out of thee. Isn't it like God? As we see in the life of, say, Hannah, who was barren, Mary, who had not known a man, isn't it like him to perform, to display, to exhibit his power in such a manner as he is doing here with Abraham? So we see that God, El Shaddai, is sufficient for Abraham in the giving and keeping of his covenant. Verse 15, and God said unto Abraham, as for Sarah thy wife, thou shalt not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall be her name. And I will bless her and give thee a son also of her. Yea, I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations. Kings of people shall be of her. This was important, and may I say it this way, it was important that God revealed himself as almighty, all-powerful, all-sufficient to Abraham at this juncture. In verse 1, we see that Yahweh is used in the Scriptures. The Lord appeared to Abram. But as we saw last week in Exodus chapter 6, God said, I was not known to Abraham as Yahweh. I was known to Abraham as El Shaddai, Almighty. And so I say again, it was important. It was necessary. In fact, it was vital. Vital would be the best word. For God to reveal himself to Abraham because of what God was about to do. Reveal himself as Almighty God. I am El Shaddai. I am able. I am able to give you a son. I am able to cause your wife to conceive at her age. I am able to keep my covenant with you. I am El Shaddai. In chapter 28, we see another use, another instance where El Shaddai is revealing himself to the patriarchs. In verse 1 of chapter 28, Isaac called Jacob and blessed him and charged him and said, of course, Isaac, you know, was the promised son of Abraham. Jacob then, his grandson, Jacob, later called Israel, the father of the 12 sons, the sons of Israel, the tribes of Israel, and said unto him, Thou shalt not take a wife of the daughters of Canaan. Arise, go to Padan Aram, to the house of Bethuel, thy mother's father, and take thee a wife from thence of the daughters of Laban, thy mother's brother. And God Almighty bless thee, and make thee fruitful, and multiply thee, that thou mayest be a multitude of people, and give thee the blessing of Abraham, to thee and to thy seed with thee, that thou mayest inherit the land wherein thou art a stranger, which God gave unto Abraham. In chapter 35, verse 9, God appeared unto Jacob again when he came out of Padan Aram and blessed him, and God said unto him, Thy name is Jacob. Thy name shall not be called any more Jacob, but Israel shall be thy name. And he called his name Israel. God said unto him, I am El Shaddai. Be fruitful and multiply. A nation and a company of nations shall be of thee, and kings shall come out of thy loins. And so, then again, in chapter 43, verse 11, and their father Israel, this is Jacob, Israel, said unto them, if it must be so now, do this. And this is when they are having dealings with their estranged brother Joseph, who is in charge in Egypt. If it must be so now, do this. Take of the best fruits in the land in your vessels and carry down the man a present, a little balm and a little honey, spices and myrrh, nuts and almonds, and take double money in your hand. And the money that was brought again in the mouth of your sacks, carry it again in your hand. Peradventure, it was an oversight. Now, I'm trusting you know the background story of this. If not, it is really a good read. Take also your brother and arise, go again unto the man, and God Almighty give you mercy before the man that he may send away your own brother and Benjamin. If I be bereaved of my children, I am bereaved. God is El Shaddai, providing mercy, providing mercy. I thought it interesting that another place, and there are not very many, and we're going to wind up the lesson today with some provocative thoughts for you regarding the word, the name El Shaddai, as we did in the men's prayer meeting yesterday. But in Ruth, and you won't need to turn there, we won't be looking at any more verses than the ones that are in your little lesson here. But notice El Shaddai in the life of Naomi, Ruth's mother-in-law. Chapter 1, verse 20. She, Naomi, said unto them, Call me not Naomi, call me Mara, which means bitter. For the Almighty hath dealt very bitterly with me. El Shaddai has dealt bitterly with me. I went out full, and the Lord hath brought me home again empty. Why then call ye me Naomi, seeing the Lord hath testified against me, and El Shaddai hath afflicted me? And so here we see something when you think of God's sufficiency, maybe you don't think of, and that is God's sufficiency when things are not according to our understanding or according to our preferences. What was God doing here in the grand scheme with Naomi? Well, you realize that our Lord Jesus Christ came through this godly seed of Boaz and Ruth. There was a bigger picture, is the point. Naomi said, El Shaddai has afflicted me. And so it was. And she, I think we could rightly say, she didn't quite grasp the reason why. She used the word bitter. Don't call me Naomi, call me bitter. I'm bitter. I don't understand. But we, some 3,500 years later, look back and see what God was doing. And I find comfort in this, that El Shaddai, our almighty, sufficient God, gives us what we need, even though we may not understand what He's doing and why at the time. He can be trusted, El Shaddai. He's sufficient for us. And then we come to the most interesting part of this whole study for me, and that is the book of Job. Of the 48 times that the word Shaddai is used in Scripture, 31 times it is found in the book of Job. Now, if you were at the men's prayer meeting yesterday, I just ask you not to get ahead of me here, because we're going to look at the truth that was spoken by the friends of Job. They spoke a lot of truth. But they ended up being reproved by God in the end, didn't they? Let's just look at some of the things that they said about El Shaddai. He is, according to Eliphaz, chapter 5, verse 17, the God of chastening. Is God the God of chastening? Well, sure He is. That's the truth. El Shaddai is the God of chastening. Job 5, 17, behold, happy is the man whom God correcteth. Therefore, despise not thou the chastening of the Almighty, of El Shaddai. In chapter 6, verse 4, for the arrows of the Almighty are within me. The poison where, and this is Job speaking, whereof drinketh up my spirit, the terrors of God do set themselves in array against me. This is truth. Pure truth. God is the God of chastening. We learn that in the New Testament too, don't we? James says things to say about such. God is, secondly, the God of justice. He is the God of justice. Job chapter 8, verse 3. This is Bildad. Doth God pervert judgment? Or doth El Shaddai pervert justice? That's the truth. That is El Shaddai. He is the God of judgment. He is the God of justice. He's all sufficient in all of these things. God's judgment, His wrath, which we'll see next, is not compromised. And maybe it would be good for preachers in America to remember, Brother Rick, that God's justice hasn't changed. The attribute of God's judgment has not changed. He has not become less judgmental or less justice-oriented. It has been satisfied in Christ. That's what we preach. God hasn't changed. God didn't change from Old Testament to New. God can't change. That's not part of the almightiness of God. that he can change whenever he wants to. No, God does not change. He is the God of justice. In Job chapter 21, verse 20, his eyes shall see his destruction, and he shall drink of the wrath of El Shaddai. El Shaddai is a God of wrath. I remember, I've mentioned this before, but I remember Paul Washer speaking of an interview, a conversation he had with a friend, and the friend wanted him to come to his church and preach on the attributes of God, and Paul said, no, I'm not going to do it. And he said, why not? And he said, well, by the time I get over to God's wrath, half your congregation is going to get up and leave. Because they haven't heard this. They haven't heard about the wrath of God. He went on to say this, maybe in a different conversation, but I'll cite Paul Washer again. He was speaking about hearing a Baptist preacher say that when Jesus drank the cup, figuratively speaking, at the cross, he was drinking all the wrath of the devil. And Paul kind of shook his head a little bit. And later he was at a Christian school. And the teacher brought out little third graders. And if I'm missing some details, I hope that Paul and you will forgive me, but this is in gist what he said. Brought out the little elementary kids anyway. And the teacher said, kids, what was in the cup that Jesus drank? And one little girl raised her hand and said, the wrath of God. The wrath of God. Jesus didn't drink the cup of the wrath of Satan. He drank the cup of the wrath of God for you and me. God is a God of wrath. El Shaddai, the Almighty, is a God of wrath. He is the God of blessings. Job 29:1-6. Moreover, Job continued his parable and said, oh, that I were as in months past, as in the days when God preserved me, when his candle shined upon my head, and when by his light I walked through darkness, as I was in the days of my youth, when the secret of God was upon my tabernacle, when the Almighty was yet with me, when my children were about me, when I washed my steps with butter. That's interesting, isn't it? And the rock poured me out rivers of oil. God is sufficient to bless. El Shaddai is sufficient to bless. In chapter 33, verse 4, the Spirit of God hath made me, and the breath of El Shaddai hath given me life. He is the God of life. And then in chapter 37, he is the God of excellence. Touching the Almighty, we cannot find him out. He is excellent in power and in judgment and in plenty of justice. He will not afflict. Then the glory of the Lord went up from the cherub. This is Ezekiel chapter 10. And stood over the threshold of the house, and the house was filled with the cloud, and the court was full of the brightness of the Lord's glory. And the sound of the cherubim's wings was heard, even to the outer court, and the voice of El Shaddai when he speaketh. God is excellent. El Shaddai is excellent. And then one other place that I would point out to you this morning where El Shaddai is used is Psalm 91, verse 1. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. God is sufficient for those who flee to Him. That is El Shaddai. That is our God. But I find it interesting that in Exodus chapter 6, God said, I appeared unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob by the name of El Shaddai, but by my name Jehovah was I not known to them. And we talked about it last week, how that God revealed himself as Yahweh, as Jehovah, to his people. And I'm wondering, and I talked to the men a little bit, and they gave me their opinion, and I would just ask that you consider this thought. Is one name of God greater than another? I use the example of the Jews, the scribes. They replaced the name Yahweh with Adonai, for example, because they didn't want to take the name of the Lord in vain. So in their minds, at least, Yahweh was a greater name than Adonai. Elohim was a name that was used not only of our God, but as we saw a couple of weeks ago, used of other gods, little g. But there's one name that is the proper name for God, and it is Jehovah. Why is it that we find the word El Shaddai used throughout the book of Job? Did you know that the friends of Job never, not once, used the name Yahweh? It was always El Shaddai, the Almighty, or Adonai. What was Job's friend's problem? You remember when Brother Mark Webb was here last year at the conference, and he spoke from the book of Job. Do you remember that? And he said the problem with the issue in the book of Job, and he said it this way, John, it's not suffering. And boy, did it get quiet in here. The theme of the book of Job is not suffering. And we went, yeah, it is. And he said, no, it's not. The theme of the book of Job is legalism. That, and maybe you're looking at me funny, I didn't say it, he did. Maybe you need to go get the message and re-listen to it, because it went kind of fast over our heads, but I believe he's dead on. What did Satan say? Skin for skin. That's legalism. What did God say? Without cause. That's grace. And I'm positing for your thinking this morning that El Shaddai, as glorious as the name is, should not be the only way that we view God. I'm afraid that Bildad knew lots of good things about God. God of wrath, God of blessing. In other words, when he saw Job in his affliction, through the lens or through his concept of God as El Shaddai, he said, Job, you're suffering, therefore you must have sinned. Right? Is God going to pervert justice, the friend said? God is a God of justice. You've lost your home. You've lost your health. You must have sinned. You see, they knew about him, but they did not mention the name of the Lord. They did not mention Yahweh. Now, Job did. The Lord, he mentioned him. Naked came I out of my mother's womb. And naked shall I return thither. Yahweh gave, and Yahweh hath taken away. Blessed be the name of Yahweh. He understood. And maybe, as I look at Exodus 6, and I see the words of the Lord, and He says, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob knew me as El Shaddai, mighty God, but I'm going to reveal to you, Modi, and the people, that I am Yahweh. I am going to reveal who I am. I am. Their deductions, the friends I'm talking about of Job, and conclusions were the result of their legalistic mindset of what God is and what God does, with obviously no reality of who God is. They condemned Job because to them God was the God of chastening and justice, and surely if there was affliction, then there must be sin. Remember the Jews who came to Jesus regarding the blind man. They didn't say, did somebody sin? They said, who did sin? It was naturally assumed that if a man was blind, somebody sinned. What did Jesus say? It wasn't him, and it wasn't his parents. You got it all wrong. You know about God, but you don't know God. It was the Lord, the great I Am, the Redeemer, who said, have you considered my servant Job? It was Yahweh whom Job blessed when he said, naked, and we already quoted that, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. It was the Lord, Yahweh, who answered Job. And it was the Lord who blessed the latter end of Job more than his beginning. El Shaddai is a wonderful name for God. He is indeed all sufficient. His justice is perfect. His promise is sure, His power above all. But, as the redeemed people of God, which is who God was dealing with Moses, right? His people. He has revealed Himself to us as Lord, as Jehovah, through His Son, Jesus. Jehovah is salvation. We worship the holy and righteous God, but we do so as the sons of God and daughters, coming boldly, having been made righteous by the blood of Jesus, who perfectly fulfilled the law and forever satisfied the wrath of El Shaddai. Boldly? I wonder if you would have asked Bildad, Bill, did you enter the presence of El Shaddai boldly this morning in prayer? I wonder what he would have said. Got an idea? He would say, no, that's not a place where any man goes boldly. It's true. If your concept of God is only El Shaddai. But as I say for the third time, as God revealed Himself in Exodus chapter 6 and following, as Jehovah, as our Lord Jesus Christ, paid the ransom and made the way, entered in once for all, we can come boldly before the God of wrath, the God of justice. We can enter His presence boldly. That is a miraculous thing, really. So, I just leave that for your thinking. Is it significant that El Shaddai is used mostly in Scripture by Job's friends. You can think it over. Straighten me out later. All right, let's pray we'll be dismissed. Thank you, Father, this morning for your word. Thank you that we do call you Father this morning. We cry, Abba, Father, knowing that our entrance into your presence, a holy and righteous God, is made possible through and by the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for that. And that seems such a small and insignificant and a weak offering of our praise. But we lift it up to you, knowing that we are what we are by your grace. May you meet with us now as we worship you. In Jesus' name, amen.